kicking her out. Not taking none of my children away from me like that. And I pray, always pray, Lord, don't take them out lost. Just don't take them out lost. Bring them back to you, Lord, before you take them out of this life. And I praise God he's been good and merciful to us in that matter. And I want to thank him and do his will.
Like she said, Heather is backslid. I told him, I said, I think it's a wake-up call. God sometimes tries to get people's attention when they start drifting away from him. And amen. It's good to be with you, and I don't mind being called cornbread, Brother Bobby. I tell them that mine's real plain and sometimes a little crusty around the edges, amen. But it all comes from the Word, though, and if you want to read with us tonight, we've turned to Lamentations, the third chapter. We preach a simple little thought, maybe. If God come to us, we get anointed here, and we'd like to be a blessing to you if we possibly can. In the third chapter of Lamentations, and down about the 14th verse here, we'll read a little bit, and then we'll try to preach. This old prophet, now, as you know, he has prophesied the carrying away of Israel. And all the false prophets prophesied against him and prophesied well and good, but this man of God had the answer. And I'm going to start this 14th verse, and we're going to read down the way, so bear with us here. He says, he has caused the arrow of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled within me. He's getting right now, getting humbled. Is humbled within me. Now listen to this. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You may be seated if you wish. This old man has seen the carrying away of the young men of Israel. He's seen the ravaging and the rape of the young women. He's seen the elders' goods taken from them and their homes taken. He's seen, amen, foreign armies come in there and literally wreck everything that they had belief and confidence in. And this is the reason for his bitterness there and his murmuring and complaining. But oh my, God has told Jeremiah, said, I'm going to give you your life for a prey. There's going to be some carried away. There's going to be some won't come back. But Jeremiah, I'm going to take care of you because you spoke the truth. You did the things that I said to do. Amen. And I thought about Jeremiah when he gets down to the place where he thinks he can't get no more down. He gets to remembering. And he talks again. Let me read this again here. Says this, I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'd like to preach tonight a simple little thought. There's never been a man like Jesus. There's never been anyone like God that can come to us in a time of trouble and toil and when the enemy comes on like a raging storm and like a roaring lion, he's about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know that if we can remember where we come from, remember what we got a hold of, remember that day we prayed through yonder and laid on to the promise of faith through Jesus Christ. If we can remember these things, get a hold to them, God will come to us and he will bring us out of our problems every time. Amen. You have to bear with me. I thought about in the Bible again and again the enemy has tried to disprove God. And they're still trying to do it today, but oh my, you take somebody that's got about 40 years experience of trying to preach holiness behind them, you take somebody just pray through and just laid a hold of the promise of life, you're not going to change their mind easily, amen, because they know that there is a true and a living God that is able to come to you at the midnight hour and bring you out of joy that nothing else in this world can give you. But I thought about over there in one book of the Old Testament there, I think it's in Kings, tells about the Syrian army coming down to sack Israel. Again, sin has got the Israeli people in trouble. When people sin, God will bring them sometimes problems to try to get them to realize, amen, that they really need Him, to really bring them back to remembrance that it's Him, amen, that we got to trust even in our time of trouble. And when the sun is shining too, we got to trust Him. But I thought these people come down, and old Ben-Hadad come down against them, amen, and went out against them on the mountain there. And Israel just went out, and God said, I'm with you. I'm going to give you this battle. So they whipped the Syrians and put them to flight. Well, their old people told them, Brother Bobby, said, well, their gods, he's the God of the mountain. But let's get them out there in the plains. We'll show them men what it is. We'll whip them out in the plains. He's not the God of the plains. But let me tell you something. This God I'm a servant, He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's God across the ocean. He's God back there at the door. He's God up here tonight. Amen. And He's well able to sustain His people through all trials. You know what happened? Ben-Hadad come out a year later with his big armies and said they literally filled the land. And looked over here and there's two little camps of Israel. Camps said like a couple of groups of little kids. Amen. But God has told them, amen, that the battle's yours, boys. I like it when God tells me the battle's mine. I like it when God gives me a promise. Hey, you don't have to fear anything. I'm with you. Oh, I'm about to use some things now. Some years ago, I tell a lot of natural things, spiritual things. Some years ago, Clayton Lamb was in revival. He had 13 weeks at Red Line. 13 weeks revival. He called me up, Bobby, Clayton Lamb, my brother-in-law. He married one sister and I got the pretty one. Amen. He'll probably tell me he did. Amen. But I thought, Clayton called me up and he said, Bill, said, come to revival. Said, we're having a good time over here. Said, come. I said, all right, late now, I'll try to come over and be with you tonight. I got ready to go and got down to pray before I went, and the Holy Ghost said, I don't want you over there tonight. I said, Lord, I've done called him. Or he called me, I've done told him I'd come, and it's too late to call him and catch him at home now. I gotta go. The Lord said, all right, but said, you leave when I say. Now listen to me. I'm about to get into something, and I don't believe in a booger behind the bush, or I don't live under a little back cloud, and I ain't superstitious, amen. I don't have bad visions and bad dreams, but I'm going to tell you something. We got there, Clayton's daughter had been backslid, and she hit the altar, and oh boy, I was going to get to help pray with her, but that Holy Ghost said, leave now. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost has got His own way of doing things. And if we'll mind Him, we'll find out it's always the way that's right. Amen. Brother Stoney, I grabbed Marie. I said, we got to go home. Brother, I got home. I put my key in the door. We lived over South 8th Street in Richmond, Indiana. I put my key in the door and the door swung back and the phone was ringing. I'm going to show you something. Amen. There's a woman on there that we knew that came to church. I was pastoring then. Bobby, she said, come to Connersville, Indiana, quick. Said, my son is in the awful shape you ever saw. Them boys with bad and drugs, they messed up with everything in the world. Sister Glenn and I went over there, and there's church people there, and he's all standing in a circle, and he's off over here snarling and growling and sticking his tongue out and raking like that and hissing like a snake or something or other. And when I walked through the door, the Holy Ghost said, son, I got you covered. He can't touch you. Hallelujah. When I walked in, he started to back it up, and I just kept going. Hallelujah. He backed in the corner, and he grabbed a big white knot stand there, loaded with white knots, went all the way to the ceiling like he was going to hit me with it, but he couldn't hit me because of God. Stopped him, he dropped it and ran. One big old boy, his brother, we got him saved just a few weeks before that. His brother grabbed him, threw him on the floor, and we piled on him. That devil in him began to talk, began to hiss and growl, and oh my, began to try to let us know that he had the power there. But I want to tell you something, we had a hold of one that's greater. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Greater is he in you than the minion of hell. Amen. Greater is he that's in you. And as we prayed, one after another, them bad spirits come out of that druggy boy. Amen. And God calmed him down. We got him in, Bobby. I don't know for the life of me why they do it, but after a while, some of them old gang that he ran with, I'm going to tell you something. If you get saved, get prayed through, get out of the sin group. Get away from that crowd. Amen. Because they'll just pull you back again. Some of his old buddies come by and picked him up. And it wasn't long, he was right back where he was. That old boy that picked him up, supposed to be his friend, Bobby, laughed at him after he got him back in drugs, said, ha ha, said, I'm the devil. Amen. He probably was closer to the truth than what he knew. But oh my, I want to tell you something. There ain't enough devils in hell to stop you tonight if you got a made up mind to go through for Jesus Christ. Greater! Oh, I like this scripture. I quote it over and over sometimes. Greater is he that's in you. Ain't you glad today that you got a hold of something bigger than this world? Hallelujah. Can I just testify a little bit? I've told most of you here, but amen, almost 10 years ago, I was a dying man. They put 47 units of blood through me. Amen. I was losing it faster than they could pump it in. And I was laying on a hospital bed. I died. I was in Richmond, Indiana. They moved it to Indianapolis. Amen. A big surgeon that our trained other doctor told me later, said I didn't think he was going to live. They took me before a transplant patient there one Sunday morning, took the stomach, the spleen out, and I've had 5 major surgeries. The stomach's gone, spleen's gone, and they even got a part of the colon and bowel over here. Amen, and I ain't on no cost to me either. God got me hooked up just right. God got me hooked up and I'm still working. Hallelujah. That big surgeon that trained the other doctor said, I thought you'd die. I went from 210 pounds down to 137 pounds in a matter of weeks. My wife didn't think I'd live. My preaching brothers, you can ask Brian Smith, he didn't think I'd live. My children didn't think I'd live. But you see, before I went in there, I got to pray and I said, Lord, if you're going to take me, it's all right. Marie, if you've got enough insurance to bury me, she'll get by without me, all right. But God said, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. I said, Lord, I got the insurance to bury me. She can draw what I draw. But I said, I sure ain't got money for doctor bills. Lord said, I'll take care of that too. It went in, one hospital bill, not counting surgeons, not counting the other hospital bills. One hospital bill was over $100,000. I want you to know something tonight. I'm free of every bit of it. God's worked it all out. Amen. I ain't no rich man, never was. But God is rich in all things. And He's able to sustain us. And if He says, I'll do it, you can look for it. It'll be there. Well, that didn't belong here tonight. But you got it. Amen. I thought like this, brother, I do know a little Bible, but let me talk. Brother talking about Don Rich. Brother Don was over at Brian's a while back. Stayed upstairs overnight. We got to personally meet him. I didn't realize he was such a nice fella, so I got to meet him, sat with him while I talk. Amen. He's telling us, Bobby said, he got the burden for a little village down there in Panama, them Cooney natives, little old short guys. Amen. He said he got a burden for them and said that he got to talking with the people, the general overseer of the areas down there, and they said, there ain't nobody ever been able to gain them people. Said, you can't do it. But Brother Rich sought for and got the invitation to go in, and he got down there, and the first day to come out, Brother Bob, he said, there's about 12. Some of the women naked from here up, the men didn't have that much, but a little string around them. Amen. I mean, they're wild people. Brother Don said it's a little hard to preach, but he said, I preached, and 12 people gave their heart to Jesus Christ that day. He said, I'll be preaching again in 3 hours. Said 3 hours passed by, and that 12 brought another bus, and they got saved. Before Brother Rich left that island, he gained about 50 people ever sold on that island. Amen. Come to Jesus Christ through that man's ministry, through his faith in God, through him believing that God is able. Never been a man like God. Hey, more. Brother Rich said he had to hire a pilot, a native pilot down there, take him back into these areas in an airplane. Cost him $500 to get flown over to that little island. Brother Rich said he paid him in advance and got a receipt from him because, you know, you just don't trust some people. He got the receipt. Brother Bob said they dropped him. Said they'd be back after a while to get him, you know, a few weeks at a certain time. Said they came. And they flew him out and said he just had time to grab his suitcase and run and catch his flight out of Panama, come back to the States. And said that pilot said, you owe me $500. Brother Rich said, I paid you. He said, no, you didn't pay me. Brother Rich pulled a receipt out, showed it to him, said he threw it on the ground and kind of worked it over with his foot. Said, that's nothing. Amen. And said, you either pay me, I'm going to call the law on you. Brother Rich said, I would gladly give him another $500, but I had to just get out of there, but said, didn't have it. Amen. Brother Rich said, I'm just going to tell this the way he did. He said, he told him, I need to use a restroom, and I guess he had outdoor toilets. And he went there, and he said, the reason I want to get there, so I could pray and talk to my God a while about getting out of this terrible place. Amen. Said he got to praying. Amen. And God got to coming to him. And when he come out, he didn't know what was going to happen. Brother Bobby said, there's a woman pulled up in a car and said, put your suitcase in here and let's get out of here. His brother Rich said, I don't get in the car with a woman in America, much less a stranger in South America. Amen. But said she jumped out and grabbed his suitcase and threw it in and said, he got in and she took off. And just before she got in the airport, she said, I just felt like somebody here was needing my help today. Said, I'm a general overseer of these people on this island. And said, she got him there. Said, you can still catch your plane, Mr. Rich. He grabbed his suitcase and hit for the plane. Come back to this country. That just goes to show me that if we're obedient to God's will, if we're about His service, if we're trying to be according to the will of the living God, that He can bring us out of any situation. I'm trying to preach, I've never been nobody like God. Never been nothing like our God. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about three Hebrew boys. You know the story, you've heard it over and over. Everybody's heard any preaching at all. You know these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was down there in that strange land, carried off his captives along with Daniel. Amen. The old Babylonian king had them as eunuchs. Amen. Amen. I thought like this, Brother Bobby. The old king set up a big, old, tall idol and said, now we're going to sound all the music. The sackbut, the harps, and all the music, we're going to sound it all. And said, when we do, you bow down to that idol. Somebody peeked. Somebody was peeking. And three Hebrew boys did not bow down to that king's idol. And the devil, you know, the tender mercies of the devil now. We'll give you another chance, boys. We'll sound the music again. All you got to do is bow down. But oh my, them three Hebrew boys had their mind made up that there was one God they was going to serve. And if that God did not deliver them, they'd go to the fiery furnace. And they told the old king so. O king, whether our God will deliver us or not, we know not. This much we know, we're not bound. Amen. God's got a few people that's not going to compromise, not going to back up, not going to bow down, not going to give way, and not going to say, well, I guess it's all right to have a social drink because it ain't. Come on. Tell you to lay aside the habits and the sin that so easily I beset you and to run with patience the race that's set before you. Amen. The Bible says, Bible tells us, amen, what concord have we with Belial? We can't sit at the table with devils. Amen. But he tells us, amen, to come ye out from among them and touch not the unclean, saith the Lord, and I'll dwell in ye. You'll be my sons and daughters. I like that. I'll dwell in ye. It said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Did you know that you and I can perfect on this in our walk? I know it takes the blood to save us, but you and I can cleanse our hands from the things of this world, and we can get close to God through sanctification and obedience to Him. Three Hebrew boys, they said that old king got so mad at them, couldn't see straight, putting it in our terms. Just putting it the way we understand it. He couldn't see straight. Amen. And he told him to heat that furnace up. 17 times hotter. Now, it was hot enough that they had some of the most mighty men in the kingdom toss them boys in the fire. And they went down into a pit. Let's leave that just a minute. Craig Hale's my son-in-law. He had a job one time, and they sent him over to what used to be Armco at Middletown. And he had to go out on the roof somehow there to check temperatures. You know where that fire shoots out of that chimney over at Middletown. Some reason or other, they had him up there checking instruments or something or other. He had to wear special shoes even on the roof to keep the soles from melting off his feet. Huh? Amen. And I think he said that they'd come out up there about 2,500 degrees or something like that. Can you imagine what a man would be if he hit that? Why, just be a little puff and he'd be gone. But oh my, that old king wandered over. Amen. To that super hot furnace. He said, didn't we cast three in? I can just about see him. Huh? Didn't we throw in three? I count four. And they're loose and they're walking around in there. They're not bound, but they're free. And he said, that fourth one. Said, it's like the Son of God. Wonder how he knew. I'll tell you why he knew. He knew that the mortal man couldn't live in that. He knew that them boys were serving something bigger than his idol. He knew that when they served, he'd come down to take their part in the fire and to go with them to the fire and bring them out without the smell of smoke on their garment. Oh, what a God. How big he is. Could you ever preach him as big as he is, Brother Stoney? I can't. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Pray for me just a little bit. You know, that old King Herod, he killed James with the sword. Jewish tradition has it that they flayed him. I don't know if they did or not. But if he did, can't you imagine such a painful thing? Stand a man there and trim him down a little bit at a time and he's literally dead. Can you imagine that? How gross that would be. And Herod saw that it pleased the people, so he went and arrested Peter also. Put him in prison. Amen? And after the holidays, after the Jewish holiday they're having here, he's going to bring him forth, and he's going to do away with old Peter too. But oh, listen to me. There's never been a God, never been a man, never been nothing like the God we're serving. God sent an angel down there. Huh? God sent an angel down there. Oh, Peter, chained between two soldiers with two chains. Amen. Laying there asleep, he must have had a pretty good conscience about all of it. Amen. He must have had a made up mind. Hey, if God takes me home, I'll just go be with Jesus Christ. Amen. If he decides to spare me, I'm ready to go. After a while, that big old angel tapped him. Arise, Peter. Put on your sandals. Put your garment around you. And them chains just fell off. Old Peter comes there and the gate's open. Walks right through. Comes out to the big gates of the city, big iron gates just swung open. Amen. Oh, you talk about automatic doors. A&P's had them for a while. And Kroger's and all that. But God had them working back under the Babylonian king way back there in Daniel's day. Hallelujah. Peter thought he was having a vision. Huh? That angel departed and he got to looking around. He knew full well God had sent the angel to deliver him out of the hands of Herod and away from the expectation of the people. Them people had big expectations for Peter. They enjoyed seeing them men of God persecuted and killed. They enjoyed that because they had a religion that didn't allow for the Son of God. But let me tell you something. God's got a Son. He's called Jesus. He's the only begotten Son of God. And there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved except for Jesus Christ. It's still the same today as it was in Peter's day. Oh my. Can't you imagine that old apostle coming to himself and heads out over here to Mary's house. John Mark's mom, Mary. Over here is a prayer meeting going on. Kind of comical in a way. Kind of sad in a way too, because when Peter gets over and gets a knocking on the gate, little Rhoda comes to open the gate and she sees Peter out there and got all excited and ran back to tell him at the prayer meeting, hey, Peter's outside the gate. They said, "Oh no, it can't be. It must be his ghost. It must be his angel." Amen. They thought Peter had been killed and just his spirit had come back there. But oh my, God don't do it that way. When God sends deliverance, He sends a wholehearted, full pardon, amen, and delivers you from whatever snare the devil might have you in. If it's sin and overcome by the world, He can deliver you without a trace of the world on you. That blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It tells us, as a matter of fact, to walk in the light, as He's in the light, have fellowship one with another, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John said he saw a number over there that no man can number. They had all white robes. Amen. The angel asked him, "Who are these?" He said, "Sir, thou knowest." He said, "These are they that come up through great tribulation, have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. Ain't that a wonderful thought? Bobby, he might have saw me and you there. I don't know. One thing for sure, I'm heading that way. One thing for sure, I know it's awaiting. One thing for sure, I got the promise of God, and this God that I'm telling you about tonight has never failed yet, and He never will. Amen. Never failed, and He never will fail. Amen. Let me read one more little scripture over to Hebrews here. Bear with me just a little bit. Hallelujah. A little short winded. Like I told you, Sister Glenn and I had a little round with the devil, but oh my, I want to tell you something. I'm feeling pretty big tonight. I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like a touch from heaven. Let me talk some more. I stagger. This whole side is numb. And I had a spinal cord damage, and pretty bad. About Dr. Neurologist said about that close to being paralyzed from here down. Amen. But God saw fit to let the devil get me on that one either. After I had all that surgery, I had prostate cancer, and I had to take shots for 2 or 3 years. I had to take 40 treatments of radiation, but God saw fit. They said, "You'll be on this for life. You'll never get away from it." God saw fit to bring me away from it. He had a shot for 2 or 3 years now. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Never been anything like this God I'm a serving. Ain't no idol. No, well, Buddha can't do it. Amen. Islam ain't got it. Amen. I'll tell you who's got it. The redeemed of God. Them that believes that Jesus Christ come into this world and hung on a cross to redeem us from our sin and that His blood washes all sins away. They're the ones that's got this thing. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I lose track sometimes. Get to talking. Bear with me. Hebrews 13:5 said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Don't you love that? Don't you love that? "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. That's the promise of the living God that's come and takes abode within you and me. Once we believe and receive Him into ourselves, He'll be there with us always, even to the end of the world. Praise the Lord. Oh my. I wish I could preach Him big. Amen. I wish I could just preach Him big. Listen to me. Verse 6 say, "We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." Hallelujah. You know, some years ago, I tell a lot of these old stories over. I hope you don't get tired of them. Some years ago, we lived there, South 8th Street. I hadn't been saved very long. And, I tell you, as a boy, I couldn't stand Blondie because my dad ran a garage and I lay on there like a little greasy rat on a car seat, slept in the garage, and Dad and them bootlegged and worked on cars. Amen. And the only thing we got to eat was Blondie and that old greasy peanut butter. Amen. I couldn't stand Blondie. But you know, after about 30, 40 years, I got sort of like Blondie again. Amen. So one night there in Richmond, I was going to mark down to the little, delicatessen down the street about a mile, so I decided to walk. It's a nice evening, just getting dark. And I put my cap on, started down. I went down there across the street and got my little bag of bologna, one little bag in my hand, and I'm coming back. And I saw across the street there on South 8th Street a bunch of boys, hippie looking boys. One come across and they all strung across the road. One big old boy come up to me, long greasy hair, and an old army cap on, and glasses looked like Coke bottles or something, they were so big. Amen. And he looked at me and he told me what all he's going to do to me talking filthy homosexual talk. And before I knew what I was going, I just stepped down the curb with it. I said, son, what you need is Jesus Christ. And he ran backwards, Bobby, and he said, them boys put me up to that. And he wheeled and went across the road, and they all left. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. My God, big enough to fight your battle for you. When the devil comes on like a roaring lion, he'll stick the standard up there. Amen. I can boldly say my Lord is my helper. Bobby, I preached about enough. Amen. I believe I preached about enough. There's a lot of good things in there. A lot of good scripture we could use. We could talk of Gideon's army, how the God took just 300 men and delivered them when the valley was full of the Moabites and all the enemy soldiers out there. How God, isn't it wonderful that God didn't say, now boys, I want you armored with slings and bows and arrows and spears. He didn't send them out that way. He said, get you a candle. Get you a pitcher. Amen. Take a horn in your hand. Hallelujah. And 300 men, 100 over here, another 100 over here, and another 100 back here somewhere. And when they broke them pitchers and began to blow them horns, then the enemy soldier raised up and slew their own self. They were so confused that God brought a confusion in the camp, and the people of Israel didn't even have to raise a sword that day. Didn't have one to raise because all they took was a light and a cougar and a bugle. Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord a praise offering tonight for Brother Bill Glenn. Stand with me all over the building. Stand with me. We're going to open up the altar. Amen. Brother Robert, Sister Alice usually sings at the altar call. Crystal, would you want to come out and play at the altar call? Come on and sing one in the altar call service. We're going to open up this altar to pray. Bill preached wonderfully good tonight. Outstanding good. And I'm like him. I don't think you can preach him big enough. We can exalt him and lift him up. Amen. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. So if we can get him up there, amen. The best we know how, Bill, you done outstandingly good. He's always a blessing to our little church. Our little people love Brother Bill Glenn. And he's been an inspiration to the wholeness movement across this Miami Valley. Been in churches untold across this country. And he's still right here with us. And God's a using him, and God's a blessing him. So we appreciate Brother Bill. Our sister Crystal gets ready. Everybody, would you find a place to pray in the altar, in the pews? Let's take a few minutes and pray tonight. Come on. Let's take a few minutes in the altars, in the pews, as Sister Crystal sings. Let's find us a place to pray. Come on. Everybody would. Find you a place to pray.
How much sand is on the shores? Sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to all the questions of life. Oh, but I know in whom I have belief, and he knows my name, and every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name, and every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name on every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. Sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And He knows my name, every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. Oh, and He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name, and every step that I take, and every move that I make, or whatever tear that I cry. And He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, oh, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name, and every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. Oh, and He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, oh, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to all the questions of life. Oh, but I know in whom I have belief. Oh, and He knows my name, and every step that I take, and every move that I make, oh, and every tear that I cry. Oh, and He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, oh, but I know I'll be just fine. Oh, 'cause He knows my name, and every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. Oh, and He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. And I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new.
Thank you, Lord.
I need help that only comes from you. It's me and all. The troubles come and I can't find an answer. lonely nights I spend in agony. Lord, you're the only friend that I can depend on. So here I am, Lord, back up on my knees. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Well, it's me again, Lord. I got a problem that I can't solve. Now, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. When I need help that only comes from you, it's me again, Lord.
I know you're mighty busy in your heaven, watching the world and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. Well, it's me again, Lord.
Lord, I've got a prayer that needs an answer.
Well, it's me again, Lord. Me again, Lord.
I got a prayer that needs an answer.
Well, it's me again,
Lord. I got a problem that I can't solve.
Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new.
When I need help
from you, it's me again. How many knows that God hears you when you pray?
Amen.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry.
Right.
His hand does not shorten that He cannot save. Neither is His ear too heavy that He cannot hear. Oh, I'm glad any time I call on Him, He'll hear me.
Amen.
But the Bible said the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, even to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord hears. That's what the Bible said. And He said, He saveth such that be of a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, a humble spirit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season.
Amen.
A lot of times we're telling God what to do when He ought to be telling us what to do. Lord, how about it this way? I've seen over the years, Brother Bill, and I ain't been in as long as you have, but I've been in it a while. And I've seen a lot of people in their prayers, they'll make bargains with the Lord. Lord, if you'll do this, Lord, if you'll do that. Lord, just this time. The Bible said it'd been better for a man not to make a vow and make a vow and break it. I don't want to make promises that I can't keep. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a keeping power that'll keep you. The Apostle Paul said, He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Amen. He'll keep it, Brother Vernon. If I give it to Him, He'll keep it. But see, saints of God, you got to completely surrender to the Lord. You got to say, Lord, that's not mine. It's yours now. And when you do that, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He'll take it and He'll forgive us. But like Brother Bill said, when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, don't be found back out into the hog's pen. Don't be found back in the mess that He delivered you from. Turn your back on sin and say, goodbye world, hello Jesus. Yeah. I did that at 18. Brother Bobby, have you ever had any trouble? Sure. I've had a lot of trouble. Had a lot of loss, suffering. Hey man, persecution. Sure, sure. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Amen. 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 So it, hey, what's the difference between a sinner and a Christian? That's a big question tonight. I've been asked it 100 times, but I've been asked it once. What's the difference between a sinner and a Christian? We both wear the same clothes. We both live in the same homes. We both work the same jobs. We eat the same food. We do everything together. What's the difference between a sinner and a Christian? In the time of my trouble, when disappointments come, heartaches and pain, amen, broke. Amen, I was broke as a sinner and I'm broke as a Christian. But you know what? The difference between a Christian and a sinner in the hour of trouble, in the hour of disappointment, I can call on Jesus and He'll come by and rescue me. For He is my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Nissi, my Jehovah Shalom. He is my better and I will hold Him up. Amen. He'll rescue me. He'll pull me up. Amen. Don Rich said, he was talking about that and I'm going to hush, but that Don Rich said, he was over preaching to them Indians. And he said that they believed in idol worship. And they had this image, and it was a little voodoo man. And you all heard it, but brother, he's sitting there, and Don was preaching about God and how big his God was, just like Brother Bill was tonight. And that little Indian, amen, holding his little God there, you know, in his arm there. Amen, and amen. And as Bill began to preach, amen, that Indian dropped his voodoo doll in the mud. Yeah, and he reached down and he picked up his voodoo doll and he put it back up in his bosom. And Don was preaching God great, God powerful, God almighty. Amen. And that, hey, the more he preached about his God, the more that Indian looked at his God. Don preached about his God, Indian looked at his God. Amen. Whoa! Don preached about his God, Indian looked at his God. All of a sudden, the little Indian dropped his God. Amen. Ran to the altar of prayer. Amen. Looked up at Don. Amen. Don went over to the interpreter, said, what's he saying? Amen. The interpreter looked over at Don, said, he wants Don Rich's God. Don Rich's God. Amen, brother. You can live it in a way that the world can look upon you and say, give it to me just that way. I want it that way. If somebody said, if I ever get saved, I want it like that. You can have it.
Yes, sir.
I've heard people say, Sister Lisa, hey, if I ever got the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't act like that.
Woo!
Just as sure as the world, they say that. They get the Spirit, they act just like them. Amen. Just like them. You say, I never roll on the floor. Bless God, I'm too dignified. Holy Ghost get on you real good, you're rolling the floor. Praise God. I ain't above that. Holy Ghost get on me, I don't care. I'll roll, I'll jump, I'll scream, I'll holler. Somebody said, I don't understand all that. I've got some family tonight that don't understand this altogether. They think, man, that's, I don't know about all that. It's hard for me to explain it.
Yes, sir.
It's better felt than told. When you're looking at this generation and it says, that little independent homeless church over down on 286, those are some peculiar people.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
Hey, man. But one thing I want them to do, Sister Jessica, they can call me peculiar, they can call me nuts, they can call me fanatic, they can call me whatever they want to. But one thing about it, Amen. I'd like for something to be coming out from me and coming out from this building that when they pass by, they'll say, there's something in there. Amen. I feel it every time I pass by. There's something about those people. There's something special about them people. Amen. Praise God. Amen. When their baby's sick, guess who they call on? Amen. When they're out of work, guess where they run to? Amen. I'm not against the church age, even though it's become corrupt and it's become, amen, liberal, amen. But tonight there's a genuine Holy Ghost power that you can have right in the middle of the devil's camp. He said, I'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Man, the preacher's here tonight, Brother Manny. I'll tell you what, the preacher's here tonight. I'm trying to act like I got some sense, amen. But when it gets on you, you got to get rid of it. But anyway, we're glad to have those from Bethany Ridge tonight. They've drove a long ways. Now, you all said, well, that's just outside of West Union. It's fur out there now. It's fur out there. Amen. So we want them to testify. Say something tonight. Glad you come tonight. Say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about you, sis? That's good. That's good. Amen. Thank God for you, sis. All right. How about that young man? I feel like saying something tonight. Amen. Give them all a big hand, would you? Thank God for Bethany Ridge. Believe me, I was there Wednesday night. They've took a long drive tonight to be here to be with us tonight. And we're glad to have them. And we pray that they come back and be with us anytime. Keep listening at the broadcast. I know they will. I tell you what, just about every one of them up there at Bethany Ridge, they all come up to me when I got out of the car. We hear your broadcast. We hear your broadcast. We hear your broadcast. I said, hallelujah. Amen. If I got any fans, I got them on Bethany Ridge. Praise God. Amen. They're listening at me every Sunday at 11 o'clock. Thank God. We appreciate them. And Sister Cheryl, go ahead. Okay. All right. That'd be good. Little Weston's feeling awful bad. They was going to be here tomorrow. Sister Amanda was making plans to help Jessica and, you know, with the pictures and stuff. But then called today and said, Weston, I can't remember his name. That's a funny name right there. Now. Weston. It's a pretty name, but I can't remember that. Weston. And Weston got real bad sick and maybe even pneumonia. I think I said pneumonia. And so Amanda's not going to be able to come tomorrow. And but let me say this as we dismiss. Every one of you are invited tomorrow. Tomorrow starts at 12 o'clock. Brother Bill, I know it's a drive for you, but you're welcome to come back tomorrow. We'll feed you a hamburger and a hot dog and shout hallelujah around the campfire, brother. But we're looking for a good time in the Lord tomorrow. Glad to see Jessica back with us again tonight from Mississippi. and we're wanting them to be here tomorrow. And I'm taking Vernon with me tomorrow, so pray for us that we don't run into a bunch of dogs. And amen. Brother Carter, we done committed. Any place that's got a fenced-in property, Carter gets that one. So wherever there's fenced-in property, and we're campaigning tomorrow, and we're going to try to witness to people and try to get them to come to FIMA. But pray for about that tomorrow. We're going to be here all day and continue to pray for Brother Jeff Moore. Pray for his wife. As we dismiss tonight, she has a strep throat or even something going on with her throat. She can't even hardly talk. She was making plans to be here tomorrow. She didn't get to make it tomorrow. You know what? It's just the devil. It's just a trick of the devil. We had a lot of sinner folks coming tomorrow. Still may have a bunch coming. And I want to say tonight, I'm glad to see Harold and Dee Brummett. Yes, give them a big hand. Give them a big hand. Harold, would you like to say something tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh my! God, thank God.